This podcast replay is brought to you by AccidentLawFirm.com. For truck, motorcycle, and rideshare accidents, call Bobby Nunez, 305-444-4407. AccidentLawFirm.com.
I don't know if you guys saw Kirk Herbstreit's comments, and he came out firing and talking about what he expects and how he expects the coronavirus to affect us.
Till we have a vaccine where we can really just, okay, now we've got some control over this. Even if this curve is flattened out, this virus is still out there. I'll be shocked, honestly. I haven't talked with anybody. I'll be shocked if we have NFL football this fall, if we have college football. Be so surprised if that happens. Just because from everything I understand, people that I listen to, yeah, you're 12 to 18 months away from a vaccine. Until you have a vaccine, I don't know how you can let these guys go into locker rooms and let stadiums be filled up and how you can play ball. I just don't know how you can do it with the optics of it. If I'm a commissioner or I'm in charge, if I'm the NCAA, I just don't know how you can do that. The next thing you know, you got a locker room full of guys that are sick, and that's on your watch. I wouldn't want to have that. So as much as I hate to say it, I think this is we're scratching the surface of where this thing's going to go.
And listen, he might be right. And I've talked about this before, because it's crazy to think that you're going to even play the games without the fans. Because if you're playing without the fans, that means there's still some of the virus out there. And if there's still some of the virus, like I told you guys, are we going to put everybody in a plastic bubble? Every player, every trainer, every coach, every broadcaster, so they can travel from city to city? Or even if they're in a neutral site, which they're talking about, you're still going to have to protect everybody from everybody else. They won't be able to associate with their family or friends, because if you're playing the games without the fans, then you're telling me that the threat is still out there. So there's no way of doing it. It just doesn't make any sense. I hope Kirk Herbstreit is wrong. I hope by late July and August, we're talking about, you know, getting back to normal again, getting life back in order, not just sports. Let's get everybody working again. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's one of those things that this for now, we're kind of playing house. But in a couple of weeks, the stir craziness is going to come out of a lot of people. Okay? I mean, there's no doubt in my mind that things will get crazier as the weeks go on and people are locked up in their homes and their apartments and condos and all that, and they have nowhere to go, and they're kind of tired of being at home. It's going to happen. I know it. You know what I mean? Unless you are a homebody like me and my wife, that outside of going to concerts or work, that's it. It's the only time I really leave the house. I don't really leave the house for anything else. I usually am staying home. I don't mind staying home. None of this has affected me whatsoever. It doesn't affect my wife. It doesn't affect my daughter, because we're kind of homebodies as it is. So we're kind of cool being home and watching television and hanging out. But there's a lot of people, you know, and they're talking about the divorce rate possibly going up, because a lot of people aren't used to, you know, I guess, being together for long periods of time, you know, that kind of stuff. So I don't know how long. None of us know. None of us know. It's even the experts are trying to figure it out, because they're trying to figure things out based on what they're seeing in other countries, because obviously they're ahead of us in the damage, in the recovery, in all of that. So we're kind of using them as a measuring stick, and then we're using our own testing, and we're trying to get to that point. And obviously they're testing a lot of people now at this point. So now they're going to start getting the data that they need, and these experts will figure it out, and they'll have a better timeline for us. So Herbstreit could be right. Maybe we can't do anything until we have a vaccine, because we can't put it away without the vaccine. Lord, I hope that doesn't happen, because you're talking about a year, and there is no way people can be out of work that long. There's no way. It's impossible. It would just completely cripple all of us. We're already getting crippled as it is by this. Every one of us is hurting from this. So it's one of those where it's just an experience type of thing. We're going to have to live it, and we're going to have to, we will survive it, and we will get through this, okay? There's been worse things that have happened to society in years past, and they were able to get through it. We're going to get through this, but obviously we've got to live through the hell, you know, before we get back to heaven of being normal again. You know what I mean? But you heard the numbers yesterday. They're expecting about 100,000 people to die when it's all said and done. And it could be more, maybe slightly less, but they're talking 100 to even 200. And if they did nothing, what was it, over 2 million would have died yesterday? That's what they were talking about, that if you don't go inside and stay away from people, we would have lost 2 million Americans. That's unacceptable. The fact we're going to lose 100,000 is ridiculous. The fact we're losing one to this virus is criminal. But we cannot allow it to fester, because then we know it's going to create an even bigger problem for all of us down the line. So I don't know where this is going to end. I'm not going to go to the extreme of Herb Street. I think we can, you know, we can really put a crusher to this as long as we're all responsible and we pretty much stay away from people and use the 6 feet. And if you're able to stay away from people and just stay by your family who's not ill and you're all healthy overall, you should stay healthy, pretty much. That's it. It shouldn't be that difficult. Now, it's up to us. You know, we got to be responsible. You got to wash your hands constantly. Do all the right things so we can eliminate this, because life isn't fun without sports for us. We're sports nuts. That's what we are. Since 2015, ESPN put out what were the top quarterbacks in their draft grades. Okay? And these were the top grades by NFL people since 2015.
According to Todd McShay.
Yeah, right. Well, he tracks all this stuff.
Yeah, but that's what it's his list, according to Todd McShay.
Right. And so these are all the quarterbacks that come out, and usually you could tell by how they were picked, too, that the NFL teams had the same kind of rankings. Jameis Winston was number one since 2015 with 97. Sam Darnold was number two at 94. Joe Burrow now is also tied with him at 94. Tua is fourth at 93. Mariota, also 93. Josh Rosen, 92. Josh Allen, 92. Carson Wentz, 91. Goff, 91. Baker Mayfield, 91. Those are the top 10 since 2015. And a lot of those were top picks in the draft. Mariota and Winston were the top picks in the draft. Goff and Wentz were the top picks in the draft. Baker Mayfield was the top pick in the draft. Rosen was the top 10. Burrow is going to be the number one pick in the draft. Sam Darnold was a top pick, not the number one, but he was a top five. And what my point is that you see all of this, and you see that the rankings really don't end up mirroring the production. In fact, the lack of production is what you get opposite of all these picks, because Winston has proven not to be the number one overall pick, or Mariota, one or two. Neither one were worthy of those picks. Sam Darnold has had a lot of ups and downs already, a lot of interceptions. hasn't proven that he's the guy. Josh Rosen, two teams already, had his opportunity last year, did not show well, also did not do it well in Arizona. He hasn't justified that. Wentz is the only one that has justified it, and the poor kid's had a bunch of injuries, too, that have kind of set him back. So it shows you that these highest grades on quarterbacks, just because you have that grade, just because you and I like them, and we've got to trade for them, we got to draft them. Well, most of these guys have not worked out. So far, at least, because some of them we can't necessarily completely give up on them. But still, I don't think you have the same kind of confidence in Baker Mayfield now than some of you may have had last, 2 years ago.
As of right now, that list, 1 out of 10.
Yeah.
That's a 10% success rate.
Right.
That's less than a hitter in baseball, 330%.
That's why I'm
not. This is horrible.
That's why I'm not in the camp of trade your, three first round picks for Joe Burrow. That's why I'm not in the camp of trading up for Tua. That's why I'm not even in the camp of drafting Tua at number 5. I'm not in the Justin Herbert camp. I'm just better off right now loading up the team and getting the best linemen, getting the best D linemen. Go find myself linebackers and corners. Go find, maybe a slot corner. But you know what I'm talking about. Fill real needs. Get me those tackles, man. I need a left tackle. I need a right tackle. I mean, Jesse Davis is a nice player, but probably a really good backup for you is what he is. I want a stud right tackle. I want a stud left tackle. You know what I mean? I want a stud defensive end. That's what I want you to go get. That's why, if you've listened to me, I'm not enamored with these quarterbacks to the point that, oh, my God, I got to have them. Look, if I ended up with the number one pick and I'm taking Burrow, good. Okay, no problem. I'll take the chance. But you think I'm going to trade all those picks from number 5 to go up to number 1, which it's not realistic because they're not trading them anyways. They're not spending all this money and keeping A.J. Green to not draft Burrow. They're definitely drafting Burrow, and they're not trading him for nothing. So it's a stupid conversation. Then the next one is, I'm going to trade up to number 3 to draft an injury-prone quarterback. Hell no. And more often than not, as you've noticed since 2015, these rankings, these ratings, don't translate to success at the NFL level. I mean, we're going to have Mike Clisson from Denver. John Elway played the position, and he can't figure out the young quarterbacks. He can't draft one that matters. Maybe Drew Locke's that guy, but he hasn't turned into that guy, not yet at least. So,
not as long as he's hanging out on the sideline doing little rap dance skits in the middle of the game.
I'm just saying, man. You look at that list, and there is no guarantee just because the player has this rating, and some of you are so in love with trading away all your draft picks to go get Joe Burrow or to trade up to get Tua because we're so desperate for a quarterback, we're willing to go back and do the stupid things that the Dolphins used to do. And like I told you, look at the track record of the last 20 years. Teams are advancing pretty deep into the playoffs, even to the Super Bowl, and even winning the Super Bowl with average quarterbacks. Why? Because their teams are freaking loaded. That's why.